Just when I was even wondering if Alex even had any ties in his wardrobe, he throws a kink in our plan. It's been almost 15 years since I've been at Oak Grove, and there have been very few Sundays in which we have deviated from the sermon. I mean, very few. I can't even remember them. But I think there was one or two. But today seemed an appropriate Sunday for that. We gather this morning as part of a community which is grieving a very tragic event. We have many among us who were part of that event in one form or another. We have some among us who were close enough to the event that it will stay with them forever. The intensity of it will lessen over time, but it will always be there. And as a close-knit community, every single one of us has been affected in one way or another. One of the things that surprised me on Friday, in one way it surprised me, but in another way it didn't, but just the number of people that came up to me and said that they couldn't believe that this would happen in our community, that this would happen at West Liberty Salem School. And most of the time, and I say most of the time, I didn't say it out loud, but I was saying to myself, why? Why wouldn't we think it might happen in our community? In many ways, we are no different than most of the other communities that tragic events like this have happened. The pessimist or the realist in me, and I prefer the word realist because it seems to be a much more appropriate character trait, actually knew something like this was coming. It was just a matter of time. Though I must say that my mindset when we were responding to the school was just like all the other first responders that were responding, thinking, at what point are they going to come on and tell us that this is a drill? But that didn't happen. You see, the question today is not whether or not your community is going to experience an event like this. The question is how is your community going to respond when you do? And I must say that our community responded as about as best of a way as any community could have responded at every single level. From the staff and the leaders and the teachers at the school, to all the students at the school, to all the first responders, and all the parents, grandparents, and relatives of the children from the school. As tragic as this event was, to experience an event like this and not have one fatality, that's about the best outcome that you can have. Thanks to some very heroic efforts by a few staff members and others who were there and responded. Not taking anything away from the seriousness of the injuries to Logan and the effect that this event will have on many people for a long time to come. The result of what happened Friday is truly miraculous. That is the human response to the event. But how about the faith response to the event? For a community which unashamedly proclaims itself to be a Christian community, this is one of the times to let our light shine. Rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again, rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all, for the Lord is near. Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your request to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, Whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. Whatever you have learned or received or heard from me or seen in me, put it into practice, and the God of peace will be with you. So how would Jesus respond to the event on Friday? First and foremost, Jesus would have responded in the same way that Logan's family responded. Not only asking for prayers for their son, but asking for prayers for the shooter and his family. And recognizing that though we might not know right now, but at some level, God had a hand in what happened on Friday. In fact, the closer you were to the event, the more you could see God's hand. We might not know exactly what it is, or we might not even know how in our human minds we can fully comprehend it, but in some way, God works through his sovereignty and our free will. Which made me think, as I was preparing for this morning's message and knowing that sometimes I'm a realist or a pessimist, was Jesus a pessimist, a realist, or an optimist? And I think Jesus was all three. He was a pessimist when it came to the world. Jesus knows the darkness that resides in the world and the potential that is in every single human being. If Jesus wasn't such a pessimist, he wouldn't have had to come to the world to save the world. And yet Jesus was an optimist when it comes to hope in the future, when all the darkness will disappear. And Jesus was a realist when it came to our life in between. Which is why he says in John chapter 16, I have told you these things so that in me you may have peace. But in this world you will have trouble. But take heart, for I have overcome the world. Well, in this world you will have trouble might have just been Jesus' greatest miss or understatement that he ever made. We have trouble in many different ways. We have trouble in the many different sicknesses and illnesses and disabilities that people suffer from. We have trouble with all the accidents that happen in this world. We have trouble in all the broken families that exist in our own community and our nation and throughout the world. We have trouble in a nation and in a world that would rather divide than unite. We have trouble in not wanting to address the easy access to guns that we experience in our country today. We would rather take a side to the issue and not focus on how do we prevent some of these things from happening. And we have trouble in a media-saturated culture that not only reports on these horrific events, but gives troubled people ideas. You see, what happened in our school on Friday and what was happening and has been happening throughout the world, especially our nation, is really just the remnants of a perfect storm. So much has changed in our country in the last 20 years. It hasn't even been 18 years since the first really big school shooting in Columbine, which set this in motion, April of 1999. Prior to that, for an event like what happened Friday at our school to have happened anywhere in our country would not have been even thought of. For us not to think that this might not happen to us is not being realistic. And for us to think that this might not happen to our children, either as a victim or even as the shooter, is sticking our heads in the sand. Because when we do that, we let our guard down. And we fail to recognize the many complexities that have created the situation in which we find ourselves in today. We fail to recognize just how important every single human life is in the eyes of God. I find it rather interesting that this is what we're addressing today on what is Sanctity of Human Life Sunday. You see, God is not just concerned about human life in the womb at conception. He's concerned about every human life at every stage of our being, from our birth to our life here on earth to our death and even beyond to eternity. Nobody knows the trouble that I've seen, and nobody knows the trouble that you've seen. And nobody knows the trouble that we've seen. And we can focus on the bad things all we want, but there's lots of good things going on around us as well. Finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. Well, in the days ahead, some will question some of the things that were done, and some will focus on the bad or the negative. Not that at some point that might not be important, because we always want to improve, to reduce the possibility of something like this happening again, and how we might be able to respond better. But if we are to focus on what was good, what was right, what was lovely, what was admirable, excellent, and praiseworthy, there were lots of those things. While feeling called to this community by God almost 15 years ago now, and sensing just how special this community was, after witnessing the events on Friday, whatever might have been any doubt in my mind of just how special this community was is gone. After witnessing the events of Friday, there is no doubt at just how special the people are that make up West Liberty Salem School. If you had any doubt about how the staff and the teachers care about your children, don't doubt, because some of them put their lives on the line to save your children. Teachers and staff remained calm in the face of a very horrific and dangerous incident. And while people that serve in the military or the police sign up expecting to face such dangers, teaching and educators do not. And I say this not putting West Liberty up here and all the other schools around us and in our community anywhere lower, because I am pretty convinced that if this event happened in any of the schools in the community, it would have had pretty much the same response. And if you ever doubted how special your own child is or the children, don't. The children did what they needed to do. And none of them did it individually, but collectively as a group. They were just as much concerned about one another as they were for themselves. Some of them were even more concerned about their teachers than themselves. Several of the middle school students that we counseled yesterday, when it came to the end and we asked them if they would like us to pray for them, and we asked them, what would you like us to pray about? None of them said that they wanted prayer for themselves. They wanted prayer for the others. They wanted to pray for Logan, but they also wanted to pray for the shooter and his family. I really don't think that would have been my response when I was in middle school. Maybe not even high school. And I'm not even sure about college, because that's not a human response. That is a Christian work of the Holy Spirit response. So where do we go from here? I was also amazed at the words of another middle school student, which was shared by someone else who was counseling a group of them. And as they were going around the table, one of the students said, "I just want to go back to the way it was." And one of the other students said, "I don't want to go back to the way it was. I want to move forward because we can do even better." Wow, that's from a middle school student. When my dad said, "Wow, that's from a middle school student," when he was talking about me, that was not about something like that. And when we move forward, there's a lot of healing which needs to take place. And it will take time. And time is one of the greatest healers. Maybe second only to the greatest healer of all, Jesus Christ. One of the other things that many of the children did share was fear. Fear of going back. And that is legitimate fear. And I'm sure that is the fear of many parents and many teachers and many of the staff at the school. Do you know how many times God and Jesus said, "Do not fear, do not be afraid"? I looked it up last night rather quickly, some 81 times. Especially when Jesus was getting close to his end here on earth, in John chapter 14, and he said, "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give you. I do not give you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not be afraid." Jesus says, "Do not be afraid," and Paul knows and says, "Do not be anxious about anything." So how's that working out for you by your human efforts? Probably about as good as it's working out for me in my human efforts. You see, we can't accomplish it by our human efforts. It has to come from God. The Bible says the peace of God, which transcends all understanding. That is human understanding as well as human effort. The same Jesus that said, "Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light," says, "Come to me, all you who are anxious and fearful, and I will give you comfort and peace, for I am with you always." And I close with what is the combination of the words to an old hymn and my own words. Christ is the world's light, he and none other, born in the darkness, born to be our Savior. Christ is the world's peace, he and none other. No one can serve him and hate his neighbor nor his enemy. Christ is the world's life, he and none other. May his life live in us forever. Christ is the world's love, he and none other. May his love shine forth from us to one another. Let us pray. Lord God, we come to you in a time of lots of anxiety, some fear, just a lot of unanswered questions. But Lord, we also come to you today with grateful hearts that you are watching over us and you were watching over our school, and you were watching over our community. And Lord, we know that as we move forward, you will be with us. Lord, help each of us to be able to obtain that peace which transcends all our human understanding, made possible only through your Son, Jesus Christ, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.